Now then, a couple of announcements I need to make. First of all, if you're here for the 11 o'clock service today, you're going to see a young man be baptized right up here in the baptistry. It's been a while since we've had one, and I want you to be in fervent prayer that God will send people such as should be saved. That God will do that. I mean, I had a conversation this morning with someone, and they said something about us having these baptisms and that we should really get busy and do more to be able to get people. And I said, you know, that's God's job. God's job is to send or to add daily such as should be saved. But we should be besieging. And someone recently told me I used the word besieging the throne of God, and they thought, what? That doesn't sound right, because in besieging you are trying to take control. Well, I'm not trying to take control of the throne, but I do believe in going to God and reminding Him of His great plans. And so I'm going to do it as though I am besieging a fortress. That the ones on the inside are going to hear that I'm outside, and that God is going to hear the fact that we are praying, and we need to be in fervent prayer for God to do the things that He's going to do. And the church should be very fervent in prayer right now. In fact, I'd like to invite you to come at 7 o'clock in the morning on every day except for Sunday morning, and at 7 o'clock at night on every day except for Sunday night and Wednesday night, because we have other things that are going on, prayer that's being had at those times, to come and be part of a fervent group of praying people that are saying, I'm going to pray until I see God's plan. So that's going to be Court Van Dyne, who will be here this morning, and he will be being baptized, if everything works out all right. He'll be here being baptized at the 11 o'clock service. And then tonight we're going to have the Lord's table. We usually have it in the 8 o'clock service on Sunday morning, but this morning we didn't. We just had a regular worship service. Tonight at 6:30, if you're able to be here, and you need to invite everybody you can think of. You can say, well, I don't know, they may not feel comfortable to coming to Liberty. Well, tell them we don't care whether that if they come and they want to partake of the Lord's table, we want them to come and exercise faith. I know that a lot of churches are limit who can take a part of the Lord's table. I'm not too sure that our God really limited His children in any way. He expected us to be in the process of becoming more than we ever thought possible. So if you know of anybody that might come with you tonight at 6:30, invite them. Encourage them. There is a healing in taking the Lord's table. There is blessing in taking the Lord's table. You're going to be expressing the thought, Jesus is Lord of everything. And the church needs to do that often. So call up friends and family. Let them know that we're doing that at 6:30 this evening, and that we are excited about them participating with us. So Court will be baptized this morning at the 11 o'clock service. I don't know if I've got his name right up on the screen. I think I put it C-O-R-T, but I think it's C-O-U-R-T. Okay, well, I showed you how smart I am. No, I was the one that told you how to spell it, so it wasn't you. But anyway, then this evening, Stephen Sims is going to be baptized before our evening service. I mean, God arranged things for us to be able to see people that say that they believe in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, and that is having a now effect upon their lives. And so you'll be able to see that in the 11 o'clock service, and you'll be able to see that in the 6:30 service this evening, just before we receive the Lord's table. Okay, there's one other thing I need to make you aware of. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock here, we will be having Shirley Johnson's memorial service. And if you want to know a person who was involved with a lot of other people, but for a long period of time in making Liberty Baptist Church have possibilities for the future, because wherever you're a member, wherever you worship, you make that place have possibilities. God watches people worship, and He wants to do marvelous things to those people and for those people when they come together. So you come here to Liberty and you worship, then you are making marvelous things possible. And we'll be having her memorial service. Shirley has not had good enough health to be here for several years. She would come. She'd be right back there. She'd come in late. She would leave early because she just couldn't stand to be in that wheelchair, and it was so difficult for her to be able to get around. That's tomorrow at 2, if you can come to that memorial service. Now then, this day we want to start with Psalms 2. Psalms 2, because today's message is going to be about about Christmas. It's going to end up there, but today's message is also going to be about a thing that happened on Friday that if you have not been watching the papers and watching the news on whenever it's come on, you may not even be aware, and you may not know how very vital it is to be aware of what happened on Friday. Okay, so we're going to be in chapter 2, and in chapter 2, let me give this explanation. What happened on Friday was that the UN Security Council had a vote, and they voted to condemn Israel. And some of you may think about that, well, what does that mean? Does it really mean anything at all? Yes, it does, because when the UN Security Council votes on a thing, and it becomes as though it is international law. And you'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, they condemned Israel for the way that they're doing things with the Palestinians right now, and because they condemned them, they can be taken to international court. Now then you say, well, when they condemned them, did they put any sanctions against them? Did they take money away from them? No, there were no sanctions. But now then, they as a nation and they as individual people can be taken to international court, the International Criminal Court, and prosecuted because the UN Security Council condemned them for how they're handling the Palestinian problem. And you can say, well, that's no big thing. Yes, it is. Because that's the first time in 37 years that the United States is allowed, and they have every year they have come up with resolutions to condemn Israel. Now then, we're on the Security Council as a permanent member. There are about 15 nations that participate at any one time. There are 5 permanent members, and there are 10 other nations that rotate in and out, taking those other spots. And you'll say, well, Brother Phil, you're just giving us a lot of information. You need to know about this. And Friday, they voted to condemn Israel. We didn't vote. We had the opportunity to veto this thing. I'm not pointing out anybody and saying it's their fault, because that's not my business. I want you to know how God is going to view this now. Because God watches the nations. And whenever the nations are messing with His earthly chosen people, are messing with His plans, He's determined that He's going to stop that mess. And whenever He stops a mess, it doesn't always turn out easy for those that are responsible for causing the mess. And because we did not vote, we abstained, we allowed a mess to happen. And it's the first time in 37 years that the United States has not stood up for Israel. And you say, what is the big deal about that? Because of what we're going to be reading. I want to read quickly through chapter 2 of Psalms, and then we will be going to chapter 12 of Genesis. Why do the heathen rage? And basically the word heathen here can be replaced with nations. Why do the nations rage and the peoples imagine a vain or an empty thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. And we know who His anointed is. That's Jesus, in case you're not aware. He is the Christ. Christ means the anointed one. And they take a counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their control from us. Let me tell you something. You can shake your fist all you want to at God, and He's going to do exactly what He's going to do here in the Scriptures here pretty soon. Because I have in my life often shook my fist at God, and I can tell you exactly what He did. He laughed at me. Because He said, when my plans begin to unfold for you, you will be ashamed that you thought that I wasn't a good God. All right, so we see here, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The ones that said, let us break their cords, let us destroy the plans that He has. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath. Now then remember, these are the nations that have been against God's plan and God's anointed and vexed them in His sore displeasure. How many of y'all would think that it would be a good thing to be vexed by God? Well, I'm glad that at least if you do think it, you're going to say, I'm not going to let anybody know. But I don't think there's anybody that here that does. Verse 6, yet have I set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. Now I want you to know, David was king, and Solomon was king, and that was whenever Israel was at its height. Israel was a kingdom like no other, but they only controlled about 20% of the land that God had given to them whenever David was king and Solomon was king, and that kingdom did not last like the kingdom that God has planned. And the king, he said, I'm going to set on my holy hill. Well, that is not David. That is not Solomon. That is who we call King Jesus. And He's going to be set upon the holy hill. And it says, verse 7, and I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. How do I know that it's King Jesus? Here He is right here. Now, I want you to know something. We celebrate today and we say, this is the day that God begot Jesus. No, this is not talking about the day of His birth. This is talking about the day of His rebirth coming out of the tomb. This is what this is talking about. This day have I begotten thee. Because when Jesus came out of the tomb, He was no longer restrained in anything. Now, while He was here on the face of the earth, He was restrained in what He said, what He did, although He did many wonderful miracles, and He said many wonderful things, He was restrained. Whenever He came out of there, He was the Son of God indeed in every way, because that old part of Him, just like you and I don't know if y'all are aware that this is the old part of me. One day I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to be set free from this old part of me. And Jesus was set free from that old part, and this day have I begotten thee is talking about His resurrection. Ask of me, God says, and I shall give you the heathen, the nations, for your inheritance. Who is God speaking to here? Jesus. And the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And who is God speaking to here? It's Jesus He's speaking to, because one day Jesus is going to come back from the east. The clouds will split open. Jesus will come back. We will come back with Him to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And I will give you the uttermost parts of the earth. Verse 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron. If they resist you, they can't do that, because I'm going to give you a rod of iron and you will break them so that they can be blessed. Now I want you to know something. I am one of the most blessed people in the world. But there was a time whenever I resisted God on my left hand and I resisted God on my right hand. Of course, this is backwards from y'all looking up here saying, oh, no, that's your left hand over there. No, my left hand, because I'm doing it for you, and my right hand, I've resisted God so many different ways, and I have been broken so that God could bless me. And if the nations continue to resist Him, and they're, since I can't remember a time when the nations have not resisted Him, they will be broken so that He can bless them. and I will break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. This is now referring back to the nations. Be instructed, you judges of the world. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Verse 12, this is the last verse of this chapter. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you, and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in Him. So on Friday, the elites of the world, and I don't know if you all know what I'm talking about, but these are the people who feel like they know better than anybody else what should be done. They're determined to bring Israel in line. Guess what God does about that? He says, You think so? Who are you? And He laughs. Because the nations will not bring Israel into line. They can try to contain them, but they will not bring them into line. And God is going to laugh whenever the nations try to do that. And that's what happened on Friday. And you can say, well, okay, I understand all of that. I understand that now. And I'm sitting here thinking this Sunday morning, we're on the Christmas Sunday. And why are you telling us this? Because when we didn't do what we should have done, stand up for Israel, that put us in a very precarious place. Now then, we want to go to the 12th chapter of Genesis. And we want to see when God called Abraham and He promised to him blessings. And we want to see what God said about people that do not bless Abraham and that great nation that would come out of Abraham. So let's start with verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, or Abram, get thee out of thy country and from your kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. Now then, I told you in David's time and in Solomon's time, Israel was an amazing nation, but it's never yet become this great nation, because right now, you may not be aware of it, but all the superpowers of the earth are getting ready to go into decline. And God is getting ready to raise up the last superpower of the earth. And that last superpower of the earth will be Israel. And He's getting ready to do that for His people. And so it says here, that from your, and I will make of you a great nation. That's Israel. And I will bless thee and I will make your name great and you shall be a blessing. Now He's speaking both to Abram and to all of his descendants until He makes that great nation, and He's speaking about that great nation right now in these scriptures. I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless you and I will curse him that curses you. Whenever the United States on Friday had the opportunity to say, we veto this action. And we had that right to veto the action. When we said, we're just not going to vote. Do you think that God looking down will say, oh, you're so smart. You decided not to vote. No, He's saying, you should have voted. And you say, well, I didn't know anything about it. It really doesn't matter. We're a part of this nation. Now we need to believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because as long as we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there are still the opportunities for blessings, because He says, I will bless them that bless you. When we come together in this, we may not always speak the name of Israel and bless Israel. But I'm going to tell you today, Father, on behalf of Liberty Baptist Church and all those that are gathered here, we bless Your holy nation. We bless the faith that we can exercise in, the faith that You gave to Abraham, because we are like partners in that faith. We bless Your holy name. It is a marvelous thing to be able to bless Israel. And as long as we're still here, than there are blessings for America. But I'm telling you, there's coming a day when we're going to be called out of here. And you all say, well, I don't know. I don't know whether I'm going to be called out or not. If you belong to Jesus, we're going out. And whenever that happens, because we had leaders that were so blind and hard-hearted that they would not speak up for Israel, I can tell you there is judgment coming upon America, and we need to speak to as many people as possible between now and whenever He comes in the clouds and He calls us out of here, so that they're ready to go with us. Because I don't want anybody to be left behind to have to face what America is going to face because we did not bless Israel. I will bless those that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse you. Curse thee. Whenever we kept our mouths shut, we effectively cursed Israel. Now, I think I told you that this amounts to international law, that they could currently be sued in the International Criminal Court. Individually as Jews and collectively as a nation. And so whenever the United Nations passed this resolution, it became, this is what, if we'd have spoke up, we could have kept this international law from coming into being. Now then, anybody that's crazy enough, and the world is filled with crazy people, can curse Israel and take them to International Criminal Court. And if the court is of such a mind, which we can already see what the leaders of the world are of that certain mind, they can levy such heavy fines and heavy judgment against them. And we, the United States, will be responsible for the fact that they can do that. All right. Now then, for the short message. Because now we get to the Christmas scriptures that talk about when God required Abraham to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice. Chapter 22. Oh, and I want you to know back in chapter 17, which I didn't have a chance to go there, in 17:8 or 9, it says that God has promised that land to Israel for an everlasting possession. How long is everlasting? Until they really mess up. Because that's the way we are. I've got an inheritance that I'm going to give to you until you mess up, and I'm going to take it away from you. Well, God is not like a man. When He makes a promise, He keeps it. And He's promised them that land for an everlasting inheritance. And when we mess with that land, we're messing with God. Okay, some of y'all are going to really want to talk to me now, and I really appreciate it because I'm going to love talking to you. Chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Now, I want you to know something. God does not tempt us to do evil, but He will try us. I'll give you an example. Whenever the three Hebrew children knew that if they did not bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had built up there in that plain, that they would go into the fiery furnace. Well, they were being tried because they were going to find out who they were. I don't know. If I knew that I was going to go into a fiery furnace, I love playing with fire. I don't like getting burnt. And I knew I was going into a fiery furnace. I would love to believe that I could say, just like the three Hebrew children, it does not matter. I'm going to serve God anyway. If I was going into the lion's den, I'd love to say I'm going to be like Daniel. It does not matter. I'm going to serve God anyway. But I do know myself well enough to know that I'm a very weak person. And so we know that God does not tempt or does not try people in that sense that for them to do evil, but so that they will know how He has put us together. Do you know that you're fearfully and wonderfully made? That you are made to live your days in the midst of this dark time in America and in this world? To be able to live it just like Corrie Ten Boom and her sister lived their lives during World War II when they were in the concentration camp, and they spoke the word into so many women's hearts that those women, if they didn't make it out of there, out of the prison camp, they're in heaven today. And they were willing to say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to bless the Lord anyway. And so here we find that God has allowed this to happen to Abram. In fact, He's purposed it to happen so Abram would know who he was. And He spoke to Abram, and Abram said, behold, I'm here. And He said to him, take now thy son, thine only son. Here we have a picture of Jesus coming into this world. Coming into this world to be the perfect sacrifice. Thy son whom you lovest, and get you up to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering up on one of the mountains. And I want you to know that God does not want us to mistreat children. He wants us to thank Him for them and to cry out saying, make me a blessing to these children. And I will an offering for a burnt offering. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he cut wood for the burnt offering. And he rose up and he went forth to the place where God had told him. On the verse 4, and then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place a long ways off. And he said, oh my gosh, here I am, three days away from where we were. And I see it now. My heart's breaking. God wants me to offer him up as a burnt offering. And Abraham said to his young men, you all stay here. The lad and I will go yonder and we will worship and we will come again to you. Now then I want you to know that Abram is using great faith here because he's been told he's going to offer his son, his only son, up. That means that the boy is going to die. A burnt offering always died. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and he laid it upon Isaac's back, so Isaac had to carry the wood, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, the both of them, and Isaac spoke unto Abram his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac said, behold, you have the fire, I have the wood, but there's no burnt offering. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. Everybody say that with me. God will provide. And we need this kind of faith. Are you in an impossible situation? Well, yes, you are. He said, well, I don't feel like it. Well, I'm sorry, you just don't realize it. We're all in impossible situations. And God will provide. He will provide a lamb for himself. So here we have this lamb, this son being offered up. He's a picture of Jesus. When Mary was given the opportunity to bring this perfect lamb, this perfect child, he was coming to pay the price for us. And the lamb is a picture of the sacrifice that pays the price for us. So they both went, the both of them together, and they came to the place where God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and he laid the wood in order, and he bound his own son. Now then, while he's binding Isaac up, what do you think is going through Isaac's mind? Because he knows how a sacrifice should be bound and laid on the altar. And you say, well, why did they bind the sacrifice? So that the sacrifice would not suffer. God wasn't interested in a sacrifice that suffered beyond compare. The sacrifice was treated with respect, and the person who was offering up the sacrifice was required to lay their hand on the head of it and watch it while it died in their place. And so he said, here is the wood, and here where you have the fire. Where is the sacrifice? And they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and he bound his son Isaac, and he laid him upon the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay him, and the angel of the Lord called unto him from out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for I know now that you know that you fear God. Now then, I want you to know something. Do you really know that you fear God? You'll know that whenever you're in the midst of impossible things, and you'll say, it doesn't matter. God's in control. Shirley Johnson will have her services here tomorrow at 2. I want you to know something. In her last days, she would love to have been able to get up and walk like she's walking in heaven now. But she had that attitude. It doesn't matter. God's in charge. Billy Dowdy, who has so many things wrong in his body, he's got that same attitude. It doesn't matter. God's in charge. And I want to be able to say to you, for me, it doesn't matter. God's in charge. And so you know who you are, and that you fear God. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked behind him. There was a caught in a thicket by his horns, a ram. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Because what did God do? God provided. And whatever it is that you don't think that there's any possible way out of, God will provide. So now then we want to go to Hebrews, and we're going to close this all down. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and we're going to be looking at 11th chapter, starting with verse 17. By faith, 11th chapter, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, so that he would know who he was. Do you realize that that's basically what we can say about every day of our lives? If I have trials today, it's so I'll know who I am when I get to tomorrow. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And it was of whom it was said that in Isaac shall your seed be called, which means all the promises are going to have to go through him, counting that God was able to raise Isaac up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a like figure. So, everything about my life is about who's on the throne. Because it doesn't matter what happens to me. I go to the nursing home and the hospitals often. Those that go with me will tell you there are times whenever I'm going in that I'll say, "Oh Lord, don't make me come here unless I have to." Because I've seen too much. But if I have to, I'll go. Because I want to be just like Corrie Ten Boom was. Change the world wherever she was. I want to be just like Bill Dowdy, who says, "I'm a professional patient. I'm a missionary in the hospital." What an attitude. And we need to know that this is the church's and our responsibility to live the most amazing of lives right now. And it's available. Just like it was for Abraham. God will provide. Let's all stand. And I'm just going to have a prayer because it's time for us to go on to the next one and dismiss everybody. Father, I thank you for those that are here. There's a word that's fallen into everybody's heart. We need to know, Father. We need to be aware of the fact that America is not a righteous place and we are treading on thin ice when we do not bless Israel. And we ask you to, one more time, because of who Jesus is and because of Him being our Master and because of you being Lord over not just Israel but all nations, to find blessings for America. And then we thank you, Father, that in this picture in the Old Testament that Abraham was willing to be like you because you sent your son knowing that only he could pay the price for our sins to be taken care of. I'd love to tell you, I've learned not to sin, Father. But I find out every day that I have such a sin problem. And I am so thankful for a God who will handle my sins in spite of me. And I ask you to handle America's sins and the sins of every family here and those who would love to be here with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.